Amen. Shall we pray?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for another opportunity to share your word, to minister to your children. Father, I ask that you open our hearts. Let us be blessed tonight, and let the glory be yours. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. How's our day been? Good? The month of September, we have been speaking about joy. Joy. Joy cometh. And I believe that indeed, for every one of us, if you have not started to experience the joy, that joy will come for you in the mighty name of Jesus. And we have discussed from different angles. I've been privy to most of the messages for all the Tuesdays. So I would not want to bore you with the definition of joy. I'm sure we have the definition engraved in our hearts already. But this evening I'll be speaking on something I've titled Maintaining Joy. Maintaining Joy. Psalm 30 verse 5. We've quoted this verse of the Bible severally this month. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Your joy will come in the mighty name of Jesus. When the morning comes, it arrives with joy. But how do we ensure that this joy does not disappear? How do we ensure that this joy does not just visit us and go? You know, like I was speaking on Sunday, when I came to talk about the family month, whatever you don't maintain can't be retained. I mean, and that's the rule. Whatever, I mean, think about it. In whatever, is it your building? Is it your car? Is it yourself? Your body? Is it your job? I mean, just mention it. Whatever cannot be maintained can be retained. It will shock you how much the church spends on the maintenance of this building. It will shock you. Because if it's not maintained, it's just a matter of time. It will crumble. So in the same way, joy has come. How do you maintain joy? You know, it's just like we are speaking about marriage, homes, family in the month of October. You know, people are actually eager to marry. And I've said it in a lot of meetings, maybe wedding sermons, that it's not a big deal to marry. It's not a big deal. My driver has two wives. Yes. So it's not a big deal. And if he has little more money, I'm sure he can take the third one. So getting married is not a big deal. The big deal is the ability to maintain a home. That's the big deal. So maintenance is very key in the scheme of things. You see, when you see a grass that is green all year round, someone is maintaining it. I had the privilege of going to IITA last week, Saturday, and I thought I was in the U.S. It's not like I've never been to IITA. I've been to IITA, but it looks as if IITA, maybe it was established in the 70s, is still as new as it was. All because somebody's maintaining it. That's maintenance. So there must be that maintenance culture. And I'm driving it to the joy that we have received in the month of September. It must be maintained. Otherwise, it won't be retained. It has to be maintained. You know, and the truth of it is that a good life demands a lot of maintenance. A good life. If you want to live long, maintain your life. But the other side is that a good life is an attraction to the thief. A house that is empty, the thief would probably not go there. No. But a life that is attractive, that is good, is the attraction for the thief. And the Bible says the thief comes to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. So the whole idea is that, oh, joy has come. Joy is good. Joy is nice. But it's an attraction to the thief. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So the fact that there's joy, the fact that joy is around you, the fact that joy has come, is an attraction to the thief. Because he wants to snatch the joy. He wants to steal the joy. He wants to destroy the joy. He wants to kill the joy. But you and I, we have a responsibility here to do what? To maintain it and protect it. We should not let it go. We shouldn't let it go. And the thing is that nobody will maintain your joy for you. Because the reverend here, who is our God, also has his own joy to maintain. So you must have that full responsibility. How do I maintain what has come? We had a fantastic prayer service on Sunday, and I know that miracles will come. Miracles will follow it. But you know, it's not good enough for miracles to come and go. It must dwell. It must remain. It must stay. So you have a duty here to ensure that the joy doesn't disappear. It shouldn't go away. So how do I maintain joy? I just have 5 points that we'll discuss. How do I maintain this joy? I mean, I'm sure there are other points that you can have in your mind or the Holy Spirit will tell you. But the number one point I want to speak about is that be in His presence always. Be in God's presence always. That's where you can find joy. Joy dwells there, in His presence. If anybody asks me now that, please, I'm looking for Pastor Adeniyi. I've been looking for him for a while. How can I get him? I would describe a house, you know, and you would locate him. That's where he resides. In the same way, joy resides with God. So you must be in the presence of God always. The Bible says, in your presence is what? Fullness of joy. It's not even, that means there can be half joy. There can be quarter joy. There can be three quarters of joy. But in this instance, we're talking about the fullness of joy. It resides in the presence of God. So you must dwell. The Bible says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will do what? You must dwell. Don't visit his presence. Dwell in his presence. Remain in his presence. Stay in his presence. That's how to maintain joy. The psalmist says, cast me not away from your presence. He says, take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me what? The joy of salvation. He knew that if it disappears from his presence, what happens? The joy is taken away. The joy disappears. He says, cast me not away from your presence. Don't take me away from your presence. I need to be in your presence. I need to dwell there. I need to remain in your presence. I like the NLT versions. It says, do not banish me from your presence. And don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Be in God's presence always, day and night. Romans chapter 13 verse 14 says, instead, reading the NLT version. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothe yourself with his presence. Clothe yourself with his presence. Be in God's presence always, 24 hours, 7 days a week. When you do that, what happens? Joy. Your joy is guaranteed. Your joy is maintained. Your joy is protected. The devil can't get there. So how do you remain in his presence? Be thankful always. Oh, I know that things are difficult. It's so obvious that things are hard. But the fact of it that you are alive, be thankful always. Be thankful all the time. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with what? With praise. That's one of the ways you can remain in his presence. Be thankful. God doesn't joke with thanksgiving. He dwells in it. So if you are thankful to God, if you have the attitude of thanksgiving, you will always remain in his presence. Be thankful to God always, always, always. How can you remain in his presence? Psalm 24 verse 3 to 4 says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands and a pure heart. You know, and when I was preparing for this, I was trying to look at it, and it was like I had it. Don't live in unforgiveness. There are some things that we just, it will build a wall. It won't give you access to the presence of God. Clean hands and a pure heart. Those are those that can enter into God's presence. How do you remain in his presence? Matthew 18 verse 20. It says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Please, don't miss Bible study. It says, where two or three are gathered in my name. This is a gathering of God. As many gatherings that we organize here, please attend. It says, where two or three are gathered in my name. It says, I'm there. The presence of God is there. And we need his presence all day round. So come for Bible study, come for first service, come for, it doesn't do you anything. It doesn't harm you. All you are doing is that you are being in his presence. Where two or three are gathered in my name, he says, I'm there. Number two, how do you maintain joy? Number one is be in his presence always. Number two, how do you maintain joy? Stay with the right people. Do not be around negative people. I wish we can understand the power of influence. Auntie said it last Tuesday. She said, joy is contagious. The same way, depression, people that are angry, is also contagious. Know where you are. Stay around people that will influence you positively. What the people that you surround yourself with? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22 says, abstain from every form of evil. Anyone that has the power to bring evil to you, run from them. Run from them. Stay with the right people. Proverbs 13, verse 20 says, he who walks with wise men will be what? Will be wise. But the company of fools will be destroyed. Company of fools will be destroyed. In fact, I had a pastor say this. It was very funny. He says, if you count five fools around you, only you didn't count right. Only because you had the sixth one. There are six fools. It was very funny. When I had it, I so laughed. Say, if you count five fools around you, you have not counted right. Because there are six fools. So who is surrounding you? You want to retain the joy. You want to maintain the joy. Don't surround yourself with evil people. Do not be influenced by what others are doing. No. They will push you to trouble. In fact, in the recent times, I've been maybe listening to, or I've taken interest in that Mubad story. Don't be influenced. Bible says, evil communication corrupts what? Good manners. If you stay with them, it's just a matter of time. They will do what? Will bring you down. It's a matter of time. Don't let people influence you. No, you don't have to do what everybody's doing. You don't have to. You don't have to. I remember when my son finished secondary school, I was planning for him to travel. And the reason was that, oh, that's what everybody is doing. Can I afford it? Let him go. But I thought about it. Morunu, it's good to think, oh. It's good to think, oh. I thought about it. I analyzed it. I mo kisi wewe. And one morning, I was speaking aloud. My wife and I were driving. I've said it here before. And I just said it. You know, when you're thinking aloud, book or sonic pay, we are going to invest in B. I was like, what did you say? Money, we are going to invest in B. She said, praise the Lord. Because she's been praying. She doesn't want him to travel. Football. Gambling, yeah. but that's the truth of it. Don't do what everybody is doing. Do what is correct. It doesn't matter what. When you want to retain your joy, stay with it. So after a while, people came to meet me and said, why is he studying in Nigeria? Why is that? Don't be influenced. by what people are doing. Stay with the right people. Remain with, because the essence is that you want to retain the joy. You want the joy to be maintained. You don't want the joy to come and disappear. No. How do you maintain your joy? Number three, seek knowledge. And this is a big one for me. It's a big one for me. Seek knowledge. He says, my people perish. For what? Oh, come on. He didn't say the devil's people. He says, my people. I shared it 2 weeks ago, 2 Sundays ago, about the young guy, Christian boy, that bought a car, but he did not pay the normal insurance. He was using the car for Uber. But he paid insurance for private. The car had accident after 2 months. He was supposed to pay $500 for 4 years. I shared it here 2 Sundays ago. And they told him, the insurance guy that came to meet him said, do you know you can lie? Because he was a black guy. He said, do you know you can lie that you don't have to tell them that you are doing Uber? The guy, I know the guy, it's not a story. I know him very well. He said, but I was doing Uber. I can't lie. I'm a Christian. I was doing Uber. So he didn't lie. So he didn't get a dime for the insurance. But he's still paying the $500 every month. Without any job. The young man now has got, he's gone into depression. Joy will soon disappear. And he's a Christian. My people perish. Seek knowledge about everything. And I was a little bit pained. Last week, Saturday, we had a training here. And very few people came. It was a blast. It was what? A blast. I can testify to it. Became a bolini. Became a bolini. And people were at home. I don't know what they were doing at home. Maybe they were at weddings or something on a Saturday. But that the 3 hour program that we had here, sincerely speaking, I'm sure if you have it somewhere else, you will pay $250,000, $300,000. I'm not kidding. But it came to us for free. And maybe about 18 of us. Eh? Maybe about 20 some of us came. In this multitude, if you need to maintain joy, if you need to retain joy, you must seek knowledge. Knowledge serves as a bridge to success. The success of man is determined by what they know. That's what determines success of man. And that's why in the university, you will do jump. You will do post-jump. When you get admission, you do tests. You do exam at every level, 100, 200, 300, 400. Why are you doing exams? Why? Because they need to ascertain the level of your knowledge. You finish in school again, you want to get a job, you go for job interviews. Why don't you get a job automatic? Why is it automatic? You also go for interviews. Even, in fact, some of those interviews, you will do tests first. You will do tests first before you now go for interview. They want to know the level of your knowledge. Seek knowledge. We need to acquire knowledge. The Bible says the heart of the prudent acquires knowledge. We need to acquire knowledge. He says, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Number four, how do we maintain joy? We need to deal with worry. Worry is something that can kill the joy any day. Worry is something that can steal your joy any day. We need to deal with it. And the interesting thing, I wrote it here. I said, worry accomplishes nothing. Nothing. There's nothing good about worry. The only thing it does, it makes you miserable. John chapter 14, verse 1. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Worry will not achieve anything. Nothing. Nothing. I'm in a business that is dollar dependent. You need to buy dollar, send to your suppliers. They now, do I have control over dollar? Identify what you don't have control over. Then know what you have control over. The things that you don't have control over, don't let it control you. You can imagine, dollar rises from 700, 750, to 800, to 850, to 900, to 950, so today 1,000. I don't give a hoot, man. Me, I'm not checking it anymore. Because what do I want to do? Am I the CBN governor? Which of you by warning can add one cubit to his stature? What can you add to your stature by worrying? Don't worry. Don't worry. I remember Pastor Bayo. He said he would just pray in the night and he will sleep. Because tomorrow, another trouble is coming. Another trouble is coming tomorrow, and that's the real fact of the life. You see, the truth of it is this. When you say the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, you think he's just come to open your door, bagger. Everyone join you. No. Those are the things that he does. He will bring the worry to you. You now see that dollar is going up. Dollar is going up. How are you going to sell your business? How are you going to acquire dollar? How are you going to do it? You now start in control. Simbe go. Esopo wambe. Do not worry. Do not worry. Last but not the least, how do you maintain joy? How do you maintain joy? Reverend just spoke about this upstairs now. I said, don't stop asking for mercy. Don't stop living for mercy. Mercy is the difference between life and death. Mercy, and no long. The mercy of God. Mercy is the difference between life and death. Let me share a not too good story. Just like Reverend just told us upstairs now. My brother in the UK has a son. Guy's about 22. So he has this friend, very close friend of his. And when we were in the UK, you know, a Thursday, the guy came, they met in the street next to their house. Very close. They are in the same university at Birmingham. Very close to this guy. So we went to the US. We came back to London. And my brother says, Shokwe lost his friend. That boy, 21 years old. The next question was, how did he die? This boy is on fire for God. This boy is an athlete. So what happened? He slept and he didn't wake up. Mercy of God. Two friends are there. One goes, one is there. And no. The mercy. Don't stop asking for mercy. Mercy of God. Mercy. Bible says mercy prevails over judgment. You want to retain joy? Mercy. Don't stop asking for it. The mercy of God. He says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. He says, his mercies are new every morning. Every morning. His mercies are new every morning. Every morning. Ask for the mercy of God every morning. That's what I do. You wake up in the morning, there's another mercy available. Ask for it. Ask for it. If he says, if the Bible says he triumphs over judgment, he prevails over judgment, it means whatever judgment that might be given to you, mercy of God can cancel it. Mercy of God can cancel it. Ask for his mercies every day, because the Bible says it is new every day. It's new every day. So don't think that don't bundle it. Ask for it every day. The mercy of God. Don't stop living for mercy. Matthew chapter 5 verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall do what? Obtain mercy. Are you merciful? Are you a merciful person? Can you see yourself and say, I'm merciful? Do you also cancel judgment and have mercy on your people? God says you should be merciful. If you want mercy, there's nothing mercy cannot deliver to you. Nothing. It will retain the joy. It will protect the joy. How do you live for mercy? Proverbs 20, verse 13. He who covers his sin will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will do what? Will have mercy. You have mercy. So your lifestyle can actually obtain mercy. Your lifestyle can actually obtain mercy. There's nothing mercy cannot deliver. The mercy of God. You want to retain the joy? You want the joy to be there? You want to protect the joy? Ask for his mercies. Ask for his mercies. Several years ago, I must have shared it here too before, but talking about the mercy of God, my wife was working in Lagos then. And she had to leave for Lagos very early in the morning. And because of that, I asked my driver to come and sleep in the house so that I can leave very early. Maybe they want to leave by 5. I can't remember the timeline, but it was pretty early. She wanted to get to Lagos very early because of work. So when I woke up in the morning, I wasn't feeling good. And then we prayed and I told her, let morning come small. And she was like, no. Maybe she has a meeting and she has to go. And this and that. Money needs to rule. I was trying to convince her not to go. You know, I wasn't fair, because I was just uneasy. But she insisted that she had to go. And I said, fine. No problem. We prayed. Called my shell. But as we go out of the house, we had to look on with them. As we got out of the house, that you did have seen flat tire. The mercy of God. Show shagid in your fellow. Mercy will prevail over judgment. There was tire, flat tire. And my driver now started changing tire. By the time he finished, they left at the time I said they should leave. Mercy of God prevails over what? Judgment. But something must have happened. What is set judgment here today? What? There's nothing mercy can deliver. Nothing. You want to retain your joy? Please ask. Don't stop asking for mercy. And don't stop living for mercy. Goodness and mercy shall follow you. Shall follow your children. Shall follow your husbands. Shall follow your family all the days of your life. And you dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.